talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
Hey, and we're here. It's a getaway Friday, January 31st, 2020. Joined in studio by Charlie Evers, as we are every Friday. And this Friday, Jeff Ruth for the entire duration, which has been a lot of fun.
He's really in for punishment, isn't he?
Never thought I'd be here for 5 hours.
Well, you used to do four every day.
Well, that's true.
This is not much different than that.
But I got paid then.
That's right. Yeah. I know. Well, the big money over there, the high dollar.
And today, Jeff won't handle your used appliance.
That's right. You didn't have to sell any used appliances today. Now, we should mention, we just got Heath bars. Now, maybe I've never had a Heath
bar. Oh, I love
them. Do you want a Heath bar, Charlie?
Yeah.
Okay, let's open them up.
I had a Heath bar last night.
Did you?
They're
let's
good.
Get these things. They smell good.
The woman that's
haven't
this,
you ever had one?
No, not that.
Oh, my land.
Oh, these are just small ones, though. The woman that's the statistician for Harding girls and boys basketball, she had, every game she takes like a bucket that she puts and she hands it out to people at the scores table, and she'll have Almond Joy and Mounds and Butterfingers and Heath, and I had a Heath bar last night.
Really? You had a Heath bar?
I did.
So here you go. I'm going to try one now because she brought them in, and I don't think I've had a Heath bar. Now, what's in the Heath bar?
It's just
milk, chocolate, and
Nothing like people sitting eating on the air.
Yeah, it's kind of crunchy. Whenever I eat something like that, I'm always afraid to break I'll break a filling or something.
Almonds, milk, and soy.
Tastes good. I like that. Now,
they're delicious.
Well, it depends on if you like almonds, I guess, Charlie.
Well, and Jeff, they probably don't do it anymore, but the radio station, MRN, used to buy from Coon's Candy 300 boxes of those and hand them out to our sponsors.
No.
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 Well, we should mention at the top of the show.
Real quick, I know when I was there, we used to get fruit baskets a lot from Lawrence Orchards.
Oh, yeah.
And did the fruit baskets.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do want to mention that we advertised on here for a while that a lady had lost her cat, sadly, and she was offering an award. And we just learned that the cat was found, but it had passed away. So we're sorry to hear that.
What do you do with a passed on
I asked you that before we went on, Charlie. You know I don't know the answer. What do you tell me what you told you do with a passed away cat.
I don't think I will.
Don't want to share that on the airwaves today. I don't know what you do with a cat that passes away, because I don't think it's like a dog where you can call the Humane Society.
When we had a cat, and I'm more of a dog than a cat person.
Me too.
But years ago when we had a cat that passed away and Stephanie wanted it stuffed, so we had it stuffed.
You still have this stuffed cat?
Well, she has it, yeah.
Now, I know that you can have them cremated now and get a little box with their name on it.
Yeah, that's what
I guess, it was more cremated, not...
Yeah, stuffed would be like the cat's still there. Full of cotton or something.
Yeah, you're right.
We've got two dogs on our mantle at home cremated.
Maybe this is somebody who knows what to do with a passed away cat. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, it's me.
Yes.
You have them cremated.
Oh, did you have the cat cremated?
Oh, I've had quite a few cremated, yes.
Oh, but there's no cremation place in Marion that'll do that. You have to go to...
Oh, there is.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they sent them out, but I go to the vet in Mount Gilead.
Yeah, that's
she's very reasonable.
That's what I heard.
I went to her for 30-some years, so stuff. But I want to thank everybody, because I got several calls, and I just got one again today, so I wanted you to tell that, I found the cat, so...
But it had passed away, or condolences on the cat.
Well, I don't know if somebody helped it or not, so the vet will probably tell me when I go to pick up the ashes, so...
Well, Well, we're sorry to hear that, but we were glad we could be of some help in that.
Yes, and I appreciate it, because you really did put it out there and stuff, so thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
It's tough to lose an animal.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough. But I don't think there is a pet cremation in Marion.
Yes, there is. Cancer Clinic. They'll take them up to 75 pounds, I think.
But apparently the one I've always heard about is in Mount Gilead, that for some reason people go over there and get them cremated.
Right on North Bay, right across from the radio station.
I don't think I can, I think I can tell this without, because I think Marge, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Marge tell us about her cat on the air, Charlie, when it passed away, what she did with it? You remember this?
No.
As far as I know, it's because Marge is still with us. I saw Marge about a month ago. It was right after Christmas. And Marge is doing okay, by the way. I get asked about that a lot. Marge Hazlett, doing well. But when her cat died, who she was very fond of, used to listen to Jeff on the radio, the cat.
That's right.
Callie.
Yep.
Callie the cat.
And she always said, when Terry Cole filled in for me, the cat wouldn't listen to the radio.
The cat didn't listen to the radio then. Like so many others when that would happen. But Callie the cat, because he would play music, and that didn't go over well. I remember that, Terry Cole. But Callie the cat, when it died finally, Marge had it frozen, and it's in the freezer.
Oh, no.
No. Well, not her freezer, Charlie. It's in the freezer at the vet.
No.
They don't freeze them. This is what Marge told me, Charlie. And because Marge now is going to be in the, what is it? The place on 95.
Oh, the mausoleum.
Marge is going to the mausoleum.
Yeah.
And when she leaves us, which we hope is a long time from now, Marge wants that cat in her box in the mausoleum.
So really? My.
Do you block this whole period out, Charlie, when the cat died?
I can't remember her freezing it.
Well, I don't think she did
That'd
it personally. But no, it's in the freezer at her... Who was her vet? I can't remember who her vet was. She used to talk about him a lot. He's one of the popular ones here in Marion.
Yeah, on Mount Vernon Avenue.
Yeah, on Mount Vernon Avenue. I can't know what vet that is. Yancey. Dr. Yancey.
Yeah.
So her cat, so she told me, is in Dr. Yancey's refrigerator. And when Marge goes, that cat... So does the cat. We'll head over to the mausoleum, which I guess can be done.
Okay,
that's the story I have today. Now, we're going to do this drawing here, but I wanted to get two more quotes in, so if you haven't had a chance to win, you still can have a chance to win. So I'm going to try to give you really two easy quotes here. These are movie quotes, by the way. Call in as soon as you know it. We're only going to do two. There's no crying in baseball. What movie is that from? That's a super easy one. There's no crying in baseball. This might be a little harder, but we'll give it here. La-di-da, la-di-da. Do you know what movie that came from? La-di-da, la-di-da. What movie is that, and there's no crying in baseball? 740-382... What's the number here? 383-9944. 740-383-9944. If you get us in the next 5 minutes, you'll go into the drawing, and you could get two tickets to Panda Express, and you can pick them up by 1 o'clock today or next week. I bet this is a little... I'm not about... But said the movie there. Go ahead, caller.
A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own. Mary, you are on it today.
Yes, I am.
And hopefully we'll be able to send you... Do you know anything about what you do with your cat when it passes away?
Randy Conter is my vet, and I actually have, like, 7 cats.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 dogs, and I'm a real, and I have Jeff.
How does she have time to go anywhere?
I do. But no, Randy takes care of them. I have them cremated.
You know, and you get that little brown box, and the cat's name's on the box, and it's a nice thing.
Yeah.
How much does that, it's about $100, isn't it? $150?
Yeah, for a cat, it's around $100. I just had to have a dog put down, and it cost me about $250.
That's interesting. Well, hey, I appreciate it, Mary. Keep listening. Sure. We're going to do the drawing.
All righty.
Thank you.
I'm listening.
One more quote, one more chance to get in, and we're going to give you 4 minutes to get it. I guess it's a little more difficult. La-di-da, la-di-da. Charlie, can you help people? Do you know what movie
Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
You know that, Jeff? La-di-da, la-di-da?
We'll give him a couple more minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's... You know, that's one of those offbeat movies by an offbeat director, but it became a popular movie. 740-383-9944. What movie is La-Di-Da, La-Di-Da from? And you could go into the drawing to win the big two meals from Panda Express. Okay, we did the condolences on the cat. We did the... We got the drawing moving forward. What time is Buckeye Chuck on Sunday?
I figured we had to talk a little bit about Buckeye Chuck.
Yeah, when is that coming up?
About 7:35. It's usually between 7:35 and 7:40. I can't tell you the exact time, but between that time. But people will start showing up, you know, before 7 o'clock, and we're going to be doing the Spam Sandwiches again, and we have some T-shirts that we'll be giving away and so forth. So, again, with the... Being a Sunday, a lot of people don't have to work, and weather-wise, temperature-wise, not going to be bad on Sunday.
Does the mayor still do the Spam Sandwiches, or was that just a Jack Kellogg thing?
Well, that was a Jack Kellogg thing, but the mayor still comes out.
Mayor Schertzer will be there?
We have somebody else that does the Spam Sandwiches now.
Oh, so the mayor doesn't do the Spam Sandwiches anymore?
No.
Okay, but will you be there?
No.
And Charlie, you won't be there.
No, but Sunday
I did enough Buckeye Chuck.
You've done it enough now.
With it being on a Sunday morning, no.
You know, Charlie has the greatest sweatshirt from Buckeye Chuck.
Oh, that's right.
You should have brought that in. We'll hang it on the wall, Charlie. We'll memorialize
it. I'm going to be in East of Mount Gilead Sunday with Buckeye Chuck.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, if he's available, James Anderson is trying to take care of that matter.
Oh, you're going to be with... Your namesake. That'll be good later on in the day.
It's a wildlife center just on the other side of the sheriff's department.
So you'll be able to tell the Buckeye Chuck story that afternoon. You can go see. What do you think? Let's get the call, and then we'll come to this. Go ahead, caller.
La-Di-Dee, La-Di-Da from Annie Hall.
Annie Hall, you've got it. What's your name?
Trish Franklin.
Trish, did you like Annie Hall?
I never really saw it. I just Googled it.
Hey, Googling it's no problem.
One of my all-time five favorite movies.
Annie Hall?
I loved Annie Hall.
Have a crush on Diane Keaton?
Not really. I loved the Woody Allen stuff that he, you know, some of the early Woody Allen stuff. But I could relate to that movie, I think.
She's a good actress. Diane Keaton. Hey, thanks, caller.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right.
I was kind of a Woody Allen, kind of a nerd, you know, growing up. And I could relate to Woody Allen.
I think a lot of people can. He's the glasses, tried to be a stand-up comedian, really was not all that funny when he would do it, but he could make these ironic movies. Like Annie Hall.
I absolutely loved Annie Hall.
So what I wanted to do was, the whole thing with Buckeye Chuck is a prediction. We know what the weather's been, an odd winter. What's going to happen? Now, okay, let's do this right, because this is like feed a fever, starve a cold. I always mess it up. So if the groundhog sees its shadow, it means...
6 more weeks of winter.
And if it doesn't, it means an early spring.
Yep.
Okay, so early spring or not, Charlie, what do you think?
Early.
It's going to be an early. What do you think, Jeff?
I think it'll be an early one.
See, I think what's going to happen, it's going to be 52 degrees that day, and I think it's going to go the opposite direction. And I think it'll see its shadow and go back in its hole.
Really?
I don't think we'll have 6 more weeks. It's not really accurate. We found that out over the years, that this is not really the way to do it.
It's not science.
It's not science, no. Did you hear that and Charlie, God forbid, because it's named after you, but the PETA people are after the Punxsutawney Phil now.
They want a robot.
They've sent him up. The president of PETA has sent a letter to the Punxsutawney Phil people saying, you need to stop this because groundhogs are not meant to be around people.
I think we ought to make a robot out of PETA people.
Pick a fight with them.
So a robot?
A robot,
What's the point? You know, at that point, why are you even doing it?
They don't. They must think it hurts.
Well, the reason is because that...
Who would even think of that?
PETA. Go ahead, caller.
Yes. From February the 2nd until the actual March 21st or whatever the first day of spring is 6 weeks.
Right. So it's kind of going to happen either way, isn't it?
It doesn't matter. We're going to have spring when it hits. So
just go out there for the Spam sandwich and hot chocolate.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right. Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Just somebody sent me a thing on Facebook. WMRN is advertising it as 7 a.m. So
7, that's too early.
Well, that's the time to get a parking spot.
Where do you park?
Wherever you can. That's why if you get there at 7, you'll be able to park a lot closer than if you park at 7. There'll be people parked on Marion Williamsport Road and on North Main Street. They'll even be up probably across from the train tracks up there.
Now, did anybody invite Mike Davis up this year for a final...
I don't think so.
A final visit before he...
And people will park there at TV 39 and...
It'll be a big thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And your game tonight will be on at 7 o'clock.
About 7:30.
7:30 on 1490 WMRN.
Who plays tonight?
River Valley Harding Boys.
Ooh.
Should be a good ballgame tonight.
Yeah. All right, let's do this drawing because it's 12:30. Jeff, it's your thing today. Go ahead.
So... I'm going to have, like, everybody that called today is going to be upset with me except this one person.
One person will like you. Everybody else will hate
you. Okay. I'm going to go kind of in the middle there.
And our winner of two dinners to Panda Express, which you can pick up if you get here by one, a half hour, but if not, you can pick them up next week, is Roger, who had called earlier on. Roger, you're the winner. Now, if you're still listening, which we hope you are.
Was he the one that was on break?
No, I think he called in at the end of my show, I think is when he got in. Roger, you're the winner. Let us know if you want these two things real quick if you're listening, and or if you can get here by one, or if you want to pick them up next week. Give us a call.
Sorry, Mary Bickley.
I know Mary played so hard.
As many times as she called, sorry, Mary.
I know. The booby prize today for Mary Bickley. We're sorry. 740-383-9944. Roger, are you coming to get these before one, or do you want us to hold them for next week, or... whatever you want. But you're the winner today. Roger may not be listening. He might not get them today. But he does get two things to Panda Express, two meals to Panda Express. Maybe this is Roger who's hung on for the day. Let's hope so. Go ahead, caller.
But you're the winner today. Hey, Scott, this is Roger.
Hey, Roger.
Go ahead and just hold him till Monday or so.
We'll have him here for you Monday morning. We'll be here Monday, for sure, between 8 and 10 we'll be here Monday. And then we'll be here Monday afternoon from 4 to 6.
Okay. That's fine.
Thanks, Roger. So Roger's got him.
He should have thanked me for pulling his name.
He should have. Now everybody else is ticked with you for the rest of the day now. But Roger gets the two Panda Express things. Now, Charlie, you were looking up in the Farmer's Almanac there.
Temperature 28 degrees, 3 degrees above average in the eastern part of our area, 1 degree below in the west, precipitation 3 inches, 1 inch above... I don't know. You can read it, Jeff, better than I can.
So what am I reading?
The official weather report from the Farmer's Almanac.
Okay, for February of 2020?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, hang with us, caller. Go ahead.
All right, temperature 28 degrees or 3 degrees above average in the east, 1 degree below west. Precipitation, 3 inches, 1 inch above average, 1 to 3 inch lake snows. Very cold, 4 to 7 inches of snow. Cold low of 8 to 12 with periods of rain and snow, mild between the 13th and the 17th, between the 18th and the 25th, rainy and mild, and then between the 26th and the 29th, snow, cold. So that's a real... That's a hodgepodge of about everything.
It sure is
a little bit of
it?
Everything. Yeah. But it's going to be 50 for Groundhog Day on Sunday, I understand.
So, it says here basically for the first 3 days, we should be about 28 degrees and we'll be, 50 or so.
Yeah.
So I think they missed it there. And 3 inches of precipitation. We're not going to get 3 inches of precipitation.
That's for sure.
On Sunday?
This would be for Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It breaks it down into like 3-day increments.
Gotcha. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I just got to thank Jeff.
Okay.
He appreciates it.
I didn't want to hurt his feelings.
All right. Well, thank you, Roger.
Okay. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Have a good weekend. All right, now we've got 30 minutes, and I thought, because this is what we do on this show, we just talk about odd things going on in Marion, and we all have this question, which we don't have answered yet. What's going on in Payless? The old Payless, it's got like a wall there.
Yeah, and lights are on in there.
Lights are on, it's blue. And at one point we were told it was going to be a house of cigars, which maybe that's true, but I haven't seen any cigars in there yet. So does anybody know what's...
it's Marion, and no one ever knows ahead of time what's what.
But, well, we got that Dunkin' and that Panda Express.
Yeah, but it took a long time. A long time.
And the smoothie. The smoothie place.
Yeah, we didn't know that what that was until...
About a day before it opened.
That's right.
That's right. We're never on the cutting edge. But what's going in Payless? Has anybody heard anything, I guess, is the proper way to put that. 740-383-9944. Okay, well, the robot... So we're against that for the Groundhog Day, right?
Yeah, it's stupid.
Well, it is stupid.
They want attention, I think.
PETA?
Yeah.
Well, but see, isn't it bad, though, that the people in Punxsutawney addressed it? Because that gave them the attention.
That's true.
Yeah, see, if you just don't address it, then it kind of flippers out.
Was it they or was it the media?
Well, no, because the Punxsutawney people answered it and said, you know, PETA. But we're not going to do it because everybody loves Phil and we're not mistreating it.
Do you have a spare Heath bar?
Another Heath bar, Charlie?
Yeah, boy, they're so good.
Delicious, huh?
Thank you.
There you go. And so I don't know. So is it just really that the groundhog has no point here? Because you would program the electrical thing to either see or not see its shadow, right?
It's just innocent, Candlemas Day, for one. And in Europe, they have celebrations that day also, not necessarily the groundhog.
But we don't, I guess, okay, well, I don't know. We hope it's a nice day and nobody gets, but I was just thinking about the cat thing again, because, but what if you don't want to have your cat cremated? What do you do with a dead cat?
You don't bring it back to life.
Well, no, but I mean, how do you dispose? I don't think you can call the humane.
Probably put it in a bag and
put it in a plastic bag.
Put it in the garbage.
Well, don't people bury their pets? But
I think some people do.
If you've got a yard.
But if you rent, you can't bury.
No.
I don't think. So I don't know what you do with an animal that's passed away. There's nothing worse than getting up and finding out your animal's passed away in the middle of the night, especially if it's a house animal.
Yeah.
How would you like to have 4 donkeys, 50 chickens?
What'd you do with them, Charlie? How'd you dispose of them?
Well, they're gone.
I hit a, so many years ago, I can't remember. It was either a dog or a cat. I think it was a cat. On my way to work one morning. And, I mean, that affected me the whole rest of the day. I kept thinking about, you know, if I had been a half second.
Hey, meow.
Yeah. If I had been a half second, you know, later or whatever, the cat would have made it across. And I mean, that bothered me.
People are very particular about their animals.
Well, you know, especially, you know, because I'm sure it was probably somebody's, you know, pet.
Yeah, you don't want to kill somebody's pet.
No.
That will psychologically damage you for the rest of your life. Now, Charlie, what would you do if you had a cat?
I won't have a cat.
No, I didn't say have a cat. I said if you hit a cat, if you're driving down the
road. If I hit a cat, I'd run.
Just keep on going.
Yeah. Let me tell you a story. A friend of mine, and he was in Findlay at the time, had a pizza shop. And he had a big dog, and the dog died. And he didn't know what to do with him. He put him in his freezer.
That's what occurred to him first? To put him in the freezer?
Yeah.
The pizza shop?
That's what made... Okay.
And the health department came. Ooh. On an inspection, opened up the freezer, and that ended this pizza shop.
I would think that would do you in. A dead dog in the freezer.
Right.
Imagine reading that in the paper.
Oh my. How would you word that?
Why, if your dog died, would you put it in the freezer?
Well, to just freeze it so you could put it somewhere else later.
Like where?
I mean, if you didn't have time to bury it or cremate it, you put it in holding in the freezer.
That's the waiting room for where you're going to end up. I don't know. Have you ever heard of anything like that, Jeff?
I have not heard of freezing a dog, no.
If I was running a food business, I would not put a dead animal in the freezer.
Right.
Especially, you know, because these health inspectors, you know, they can show up out of the blue. You never know what they're going to do. And now they publish that in the paper. Which, is that a good thing to do?
Well, it keeps everybody on their toes.
I think it is.
Yeah.
And so many of them are, you know, the action was taken, you know, while they're, you know, and a lot of times they say, you know, it was critical, but, you know, it's taken care of while there.
Yeah, they fixed it. Well, yeah, right.
But there was one, and I don't read them all the time. I don't even know how many times they get published. But there was one that was published probably a couple of months ago. And they had gone back like 5 days in a row, and the problem never was, you know, corrected. And it had to do with, like, you know, flies and different things like that. And I haven't been there since. And I know that's... There's just something in the back of my mind saying, do I really want to go there?
I used to be we had a health inspector. I had him on the air about once a month talking about matters. And he said this one restaurant in Marion, he would walk up to it and they'd stand in the doorway. Okay, I know what you're going to do. You're going to lock us up. And he did. They had such a bad... sanitation practice.
So they would lock the doors.
They'd shut it down until they got everything fixed. Yeah.
But so they just could not keep the problem fixed.
Right.
They had bad plumbing or something.
They had food accumulating underneath a preparation table.
They couldn't fix
that
this.
Turned into garbage.
Oh, they should have just thrown it away.
Well, no kidding.
Yeah, why would you? Why would you continue to have this problem with the health inspector coming? That to me seems
Well, I don't know.
So the health inspector can't shut you down permanently.
He can, sure.
But apparently, this one was friendly and just like to visit these people and shut them down every
so
often.
Well, they knew that once he showed up, he'd shut them down. They were so bad.
Is this restaurant still in business?
Yep.
Oh, it is? Oh, there you go. So, I hope they fixed the problem.
Yeah, I'm sure they have.
Oh, I know what restaurant I think you're talking. Is it fast food?
Yep.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they did have a bad reputation for a long time. I don't know if they've gotten that fixed or not.
You hope they do.
Well, they've got the money to pay off the health inspector, that's for sure.
It's rather popular.
It is rather popular. Yep.
Okay, I don't know which one you're talking about.
Well, this used to have a really rough reputation, this fast food place, and it's a very popular one, and it's still there. And
yeah, we'll tell you when we're done.
We'll tell you when we're done.
Off the air.
All right.
It's like all those years, you know, you knew who the bad tippers were, the rich people in town who were the bad tippers, but you never wanted to say who used to go into a restaurant and leave like a nickel. When they had millions of dollars.
That must have been George.
Yeah, you got it. Go ahead. Now he's gone. He's flown the coop.
The guy with millions of dollars used to split a meal with a friend of his to save money. He'd order a meal and divide it up with his partner.
George Alber.
Yeah.
Yep. He's got his building now, and he supplied everybody with scholarships, but he was a horrible tipper. He would stiff those waitresses in the local restaurant. They knew him as being a bad tipper.
Huh.
I remember once I was at a Rotary meeting as a guest. He heard him rattling dishes in the kitchen. He jumped up and went back and screamed at him, "Stop that noise!"
He was a nice man for the most part, though.
Yeah. A philanthropist.
Right. But he was a nice-natured man.
Yeah. Well, I never knew him.
Oh, you never knew him well?
No.
Kind of knew him. He always was nice enough. There were a lot of those people in Marion at one point. What happened to all those people?
They're gone.
Yeah, I understand. they lived to be 100 and they're gone. But like the Oliver Hamilton and the, like you said, George Alber and George Brown. So
what are we going to do? The Marion Community Foundation, of course, has a lot of money for... accumulated over the years by different individuals, but where are the big philanthropists individually, like George Alber and the Hamilton brothers?
Yeah, I don't know where they are. Do we have
more rich people like that?
Not to my knowledge. Is there a rich person in Marion now in their 50s, 60s, 70s who's really
got
the dough?
There's probably a lot of rich, but they're not giving it up, maybe.
Why do you think it was important to that generation to give back?
I know, but they sure did.
I know my dad, I mean, he was in the war, and I mean, he was always giving people, you know, we'd go out for dinner, and he always was, I think he sometimes like, why'd you leave, you know, why'd you leave the person that much money for a tip or whatever? It's like, well, you know, it looked like, you know, they could use it or something. But I think that generation was just, you know, so many of them grew up in the Depression or right after.
Yeah, they knew what it was like to be poor.
Right after the Depression. And my dad was born in 25. And, I mean, I think growing up, he probably had more than a lot of people, but he certainly wasn't rich or anything like that. And I just think a lot of people knew what it was like during the Depression. And, you know, they'd see their neighbors selling apples or doing whatever they could to get by.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the ones who I can think of that are alive now, a lot of people don't like you saying that they're rich. People don't like to hear that. They don't want to hear that they've got a little bit of money to spend, but they do. There's some of those people still around. They're in their 80s and 90s now, but they're still around.
I would like to find one of those people and have them finance the repainting of Lady Justice. You know, here we are celebrating our 200th, and the statue on top of the courthouse has got so dull. Can you imagine what it would look like? Bright, shiny gold color. You can see it from all over town. It's a tremendous mark for Mary, you know, symbol, but yet it stands there. You know, we put it up there, what, 30? How many years ago? Since
40.
40? Yeah.
40 years.
Yeah. Okay.
40 years this year?
And it needs some repainting. So, but it takes Thurman Matthews.
He's dead.
Yeah. But one time, I needed it repainted shortly after the old cheaper paint wore off. I needed $2,500 for the paint. And Thurman Matthews called me up and said, Charlie, you got it. I'll give you the money.
But wouldn't it be more difficult to paint it now since it's up there?
Well, yeah. You have to get a tall crane or somebody that was willing to crawl up there and put a ladder against her. I've got a picture of a man painting her that one time with a ladder up against her, and he's leaning over her back painting. It's something I wouldn't have done.
No, that's risky. I would not like to be up on top of the courthouse. Would you like to be up there, Jeff?
Oh, no.
No, that's a scary proposition.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
If I was better physical shape, I'd go back up in a minute.
Up on top of the courthouse?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Just to paint it or just to visit?
Well, both.
Now, you worked for the Scantlins. Were they considered generous people?
Well, that's a good question. No. I mean,
well, they gave you some good money when you went over there.
They were in a different class, you know. They were among the more,
yeah,
better heeled people in Marion. Yes, George, he was a nice guy. I liked him. He bought the Albers store and took the refrigeration equipment out and put it in the new building. But and George Jr. The third, he was a little different, yeah. I don't know. They didn't clout or didn't brag about having a lot of money. In other words,
but did they spend a lot of money?
Well, they probably did, but not. I don't know what they did.
They left town.
Well, yeah, but after they had a very successful radio station, they sold it to, I think, Kroger, originally.
So you worked for Kroger for a while?
No, that was right as I left. I saw the writing on the wall, you might say.
What was the writing on the wall over there, Charlie?
Get out while you can.
Is that what it said?
Yeah.
This ship is sinking, we need to go.
But they were very professional. I mean, I went from WMRN, where everybody was to an up, and every morning we had cheers. We would stand before we started work and cheering and singing and doing this got everybody all hyped up.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a very progressive place.
So after being gone for 10 years, when you went back to MRN, what was the atmosphere? Never changed.
No.
Never got any different.
It's well, we work for people that Jeff and I both did. It's different, a little different.
Did Bob Mason used to lead cheers in the morning for his staff?
No, he was very stern. Boy, you did it his way. Did I tell you his great-great-grandfather signed the Constitution?
No, I didn't know that.
George Mason.
Was he proud of that?
Yeah, he sure was.
I bet you would be.
There's a university named after George Mason then.
Is there?
Yeah, in Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Now, who's going to win the game tonight? Is Harding going to win?
I'm not going to make any predictions.
It's
two county schools, and it should be a really good game.
Yeah. So really, you don't know.
No, Harding beat River Valley at River Valley back at the end of December, beat them by about 4 or 5 points, and both teams have pretty similar records. River Valley's won a couple more games than Hardy, but no, this should be a really good ball game tonight.
All right, 7:30, 1490.
And one time, Ridgedale and some other team were in a tournament or something, and the other team won, and I made the mistake of congratulating the other team, and it took me some years to get over that.
Well, yeah, if Ridgedale's playing Upper Sandusky and loses, I don't go on the next morning and say, hey, congratulations, Upper Sandusky, for beating Ridgedale.
Why are we like that, though? I mean, last year, 2 years ago, I won't say what school it was, but I covered a game when we were doing a little sports here. I covered a game at a county school, and they were playing a school that was not a Marion County school. And we gave a lot of credit to the school that beat them, and ooh, man, that press box got nasty after that. That was not a pleasant place to be. I don't think we'd be invited back. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Jeff, how about the Ohio State game tomorrow?
Ohio State needs that win.
They do.
You always say, especially in the Big Ten, you win your games at home and then you try and steal a couple on the road. They've already lost a couple of home games to the Big Ten, Indiana and Ohio State, I think, are pretty similar as far as maybe where they rank at this point. And with it being a home game, it's a big game for Ohio State tomorrow. They really need a win.
And that freshman is not playing tomorrow, Carton.
Oh, okay, I had not heard that.
Well, I think he has some personal problems.
Oh, okay. Because he played pretty well. Like, I think it was against Northwestern game. Yeah, but losing at home to Minnesota last week, that even though Minnesota beat them up there, I really thought Ohio State would probably beat Minnesota at home.
I did too, but I always have that little doubt.
Yeah. So no, it's I'd give the edge maybe to Ohio State just because they are home, and but they need a win tomorrow. They got to get kind of straightened out here.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Bye bye. All right, phone lines are open. We got about 10 minutes, 740-383-9944. If you have any questions or anything you want to add, and the Super Bowl, you say, leans toward the 49ers.
I'm going to pick.
You're going to pick the Chiefs.
Kansas City's a one-point favorite. I'm going to say about 31-28.
Chiefs.
Yeah.
Okay. Charlie?
If I was in Vegas, I wouldn't put any money on it. But with the Super Bowl, there's always so much hype. A lot of times
the big game.
A lot of times you're right. The big game.
The big game.
A lot of times it's just whichever team kind of controls their emotions and so forth. And the game a few years ago where I can't even remember now. But the team in the first half just dominated. And normally a halftime is like 15 to 20 minutes. With the halftime for the Super Bowl, it was like 50-minute. Halftime show, and they came out, they had lost all their focus, and they ended up going on losing the game. So I just think there's too much hype for the Super Bowl. I mean, they'll start you know, Sunday morning, they'll start broadcasting from Miami and going, you know, the whole day. That's just too much.
People must watch it.
You're right.
Their halftime show is always disgusting.
I mean, it's J Lo and Shakira.
Shakira. Well, that'll be a real educational piece for people, I'm sure.
So yeah, like, you know, Charlie and I are gonna sit and watch. What? You know?
Yeah, but a lot of people really do watch for the commercials.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah.
Last year the commercials weren't all that.
No, I don't think there was any.
Great.
No, the last few years I've been disappointed in the commercials.
Go ahead, Colin.
Yes, Sir Jeff. On that Ohio State basketball player, that Cardin.
Yes.
This is an excuse I never heard that they give before. On the news, they give that he is out for mental reasons.
Ooh.
And they had no idea when he would be back or how long or whatever.
Wow.
But you'll have to see your connections and find out what mental reasons
it
mean.
Almost would be better to say, you know, out for an undisclosed, you know.
Mental reasons. That's just what I want.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're right.
Yeah. So I don't know if he can't handle losing since he was a big high school player or what's going on.
Yeah. Huh.
I've never heard that excuse given for any sports person being out.
That's very interesting.
Unless, you know, they had a big thing happen in their family, but then they usually say for family reasons.
Yeah.
But you'll have to look into that.
Okay. All right. Interesting. I had not heard that. Thank you.
And phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. You know, Charlie, you were out a couple days last year with pneumonia. I should have just said he's out for mental reasons.
Yeah.
Why would you say that? Why would anybody say that?
Well, and I mean, there's such a stigma, and I hate that there's such a stigma about mental health.
There is.
And obviously it's a huge problem.
But is that what it is, do you think?
I mean, there's such a broad definition of, you know, mental illness anymore.
See, but is that it? If he had a drug problem, they wouldn't come on and say that. So would they say mental issues?
I don't know.
I'm not saying he has a drug. I don't even know the person. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Yeah.
Actually, they said mental health reasons, which he's been dealing with for 2 or 3 years now, I guess.
Oh, okay.
It's been an ongoing thing. And just must have got to him again.
Okay. Yeah.
Never know if that's depression or what it is.
Yeah.
You know.
Could be anything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but mental reasons doesn't sound very good.
Yeah. No.
You know, a lot of people have mental health issues, you know, and depression or anxiety or whatever. So.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thanks for straightening that out. That helps. But yeah, 740-383-9944. Now is that a stigma? I don't know if that's a stigma, if you said mental health reasons.
Yeah, it infers like, that guy's nuts.
But you hope not. Wait. No, I don't think depression and anxiety are looked on as nuts anymore. You think?
Might not.
I think I'd rather be diagnosed with somebody said, well, you know, he couldn't come to work today because of depression or anything, as opposed to he's got mental health issues. That it's almost like that is something even more. So
well, they closed all the mental hospitals. That Marge used to be angry about that. She mentioned that many times because Marge was a psychiatrist, and she said when they closed all the mental hospitals, they just sent these people out into the street.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Well, the big mental hospitals was out there on the hilltop, west of Columbus.
Oh yeah. What was the name of that?
All I ever heard was a hilltop.
I think it had
a
name.
Sure, it must have had a name.
Well, did we have a mental clinic in Marion?
Well, we deal with. There is a mental section in the hospital.
In the hospital, but
yeah.
Right. But I mean, did we ever have a hospital that specifically
dedicated strictly to that?
Right.
I don't know.
Because
that I know of.
I don't think I know there was. I know that a lot of people from Marion used to have to go to Tiffin if they really.
Oh yes.
Yeah, you remember there was a big mental hospital in Tiffin.
Yeah, they used to have the Tiffin Heritage Festival was like in front to the south of that, and they stopped the festival because it was exciting the patients there, and so they moved the festival elsewhere in Tiffin.
If you're a big basketball player like this and you've been recruited and you're obviously a big deal, I mean, you think that's looked upon well by the coach? I mean, not the society. Who cares what society thinks? But do you think the coach is a little ticked that, you know, he has to take this guy out of the game for mental health reasons? Or can people be sympathetic?
I would think, and not that I know Chris Holtman. I mean, I've seen him coach and so forth. And I like him as a coach. But I think he genuinely would be, you know, pulling for him and hoping that, you know, he can get the help that he needs. I don't know that he'd necessarily be, you know, ticked that he can't play.
Well, I just say that because I know a lot of these coaches, they want to win.
Yeah.
They want to win, and they will go at all costs to win. They'll have people play with bad ankles and bad knees and try to get them to pass the physicals and put one over on the doctors just to win the game. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how mental health is looked upon by a coach.
That's in it, because I'm sure that's something that most coaches have never had to deal with before.
That's right, and, you know, that's a big thing now, I think. But it should not be looked upon badly. I don't know why people – it's debilitating for a lot of people.
Sure.
You can't go out there and play a basketball.
Mental health has a, you know, a stigma about it.
Right, but it shouldn't.
It shouldn't, but it sure does.
But we need to overcome that. There are a lot – how many famous people and well-known people and suffer with that? I always said there was a weird stigma around, you know, same sex anything. But if you go through Marion's history, you will find that we've had council people who were of same sex. You will find people in the media who were of same sex, but never said it because there is a stigma about that.
Well,
I never really thought about it, I guess.
Well, it's true. I mean,
that's why we're on the show.
That's why we're on this show. This is a thinking person show every Friday. But it's a fascinating thing because, I mean, being in the media, I've known some people who were of the same-sex persuasion, but I don't think the general public knew it, and I know of city council people who have been of that way, and I don't think the public generally knew it, and I wondered, would that have affected anything if they did? I hope not.
You know, the big thing on that same subject, the Methodist churches across the United States will be making a decision in May whether to accept gays, you know, as part of their makeup. And there's a terrible opposition on both sides.
Well, don't, in the closing moments here, don't we just have to say if you don't want, you know, if you're not for gay marriage or whatever, just don't marry a gay person. You won't have any problems. I mean, isn't that...
Well, the thing is...
Live and let live.
But
and,
yet, why do churches preach God loves everybody? Figure that one out.
Yeah,
he loves everybody but gays, right?
I don't know if they say that. I don't.
Well, that you, they might as well, because there is a terrible attitude among a lot of so-called religious people about, you know, making people equal.
I just hope one day we're all able to get along, politically, church-wise, and we all can just get along.
You're right.
And be happy. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for staying for 5 hours today. It's been a lot of fun. Has it been
Did
fun
we
for
wear you?
You
out?
Was this exhausting?
It's only 3 hours to go from Columbus to Cancun, so
it's longer than the trip.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we will be back next. We'll be back on Monday, and there's a lot of great programming here. Stay tuned on WWGH Radio. Jeff will be doing the game tonight, 7:30 on 1490 WMRN. We've also got Groundhog Buckeye Chuck, the big thing, Sunday.
Sunday morning, and again, if you get there around 7 o'clock or so, you should be able to get a pretty decent parking space, get your Spam sandwich, get your hot chocolate, and then make the prediction about 7:36, 7:37, something like that.
And I'll be at the Ridgedale Kiwanis next Tuesday night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. doing a speaking.
Guest speaker?
Ridgedale Lions.
What did I say, Kiwanis?
Yes, you did.
Oh, man.
Shame on you.
Oh, I might not be there now.
Now you've signed
I might have just been disinvited.
You signed your death notice.
See, the mouth got ahead of the brain there for a second. The Ridgedale Lions on Tuesday. It's the Kiwanis on Thursday. No, it's the Ridgedale Lions. Thanks, Jeff, for coming in.
You're welcome.
Charlie, as always, and we'll be back.
Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.